Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good morning, Amazing Grace. Let's give God a shout of praise. Is He worthy? Oh, He's worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, you can lower that now. Amen. I'm so excited today. You know why? Because around the world, all the believers, Christians, are celebrating the Resurrection Day. Amen? Amen. And one of the things is this. If Jesus did not have risen from the dead, we would be men and women most miserable today. But because He has risen, we have life, we have joy, we have peace, we have mercy and grace. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And now we can worship in spirit and in truth. And so we are so blessed to be sons and daughters of the Most High King. And what's His name? Jesus! Come on, one more time. Jesus! And we love Him, we love Him, we love Him, we love Him. And so, let me get to the screen, and we'll get busy with the study, and we got some goodies here after. So let's go here. Amen. Here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, the Risen Christ. And we're going to be reading out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 20 through 26, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless You. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we exalt You and magnify You. Lord, I'm asking, God, that You would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless You and praise You in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to start with verse 20, and here we go. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Meaning those who have died already, those who have passed on. He was the first to rise from the dead to live forevermore. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, let me pause there, all of us are still, we're part of that Adam. We still have to die, physically. But look at this. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. How many can't wait till we get that new body? Because what we're reading is a promise. But one, look at this, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at His coming. And so when He comes for the second time, we will be with Him, clothed in our garments of praise. Look at verse 24. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and authority and power. Right now there's governments of power throughout the world, U.S., Russia, China, you name it. But when Jesus comes, it's all going to vanish because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to set up His rule, His kingdom from Jerusalem. And we're going to rule and reign with Him. How many can't wait to rule and reign with Him? There's something that He's going to assign us all to do. And we're going to have these glorified bodies. Praise God. You know, how many of you ever had, as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, some of us are seniors now, you ever had dreams that you are flying? You ever had a dream that you're flying? And you it's like you don't want that dream to stop. And then you have to wake up, and then when you wake up, you feel like, I want to take a couple steps and fly again. Yeah. Could it be prophetic? to those who are His, because we're going to have the new body. Remember, He flew away. So if He flew away, because remember, when He ascended back to the Father, He flew away right in front of them. He was lifted up and He was gone out of their sight. And the angel had to say, what are you guys gazing at? The same way He left, He's coming again. And so we're reading right here that when He comes, we're coming with Him. So we're going to have that same body, so we'll be able to defy all gravity here. Nothing will contain us on this earth like our physical body, our human body today. It'll be a totally different body. Man, how many can't wait for that? Listen, exciting times are coming. Just hold on. It's almost here. Hold on. Look at this. Then comes the end when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and authority and power. For He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Wow. Praise God. How many are so blessed that he's going to destroy death? No more funerals. No more celebration of life services. No more, oh man, so-and-so got hit by a drive-by. And my heart breaks now. There'll be none of that no more. So, Resurrection Day is the celebration of the greatest message ever delivered, saints. What first appeared to be a defeat when they had to put Him in the tomb. The enemy thought, aha, we got Him now. But the aha moment came on the third day when He rose again. Praise God. And so last week was this. Passover, unleavened bread, and then first fruits. Nisan 17. So last week, He actually rose again on the biblical calendar. Okay, today, praise God, Christians around the world are celebrating Easter, but it never lines up with the biblical date. And so first fruits, we just read, He is what? Let's go back here for a minute. Look, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the what? First fruits. So they celebrate first fruits because what? He rose again. He rose again on the third day on the biblical calendar. Praise God. And now 50 days later is Pentecost. Pentecost is coming. You know, we celebrate Pentecost, right? But trumpets, you see the one trumpets in the fall? That's going to be the next greatest event the world is ever going to see. And that's the rapture of the church. Boom. When the angel will blow the shofar. The Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be with Him. How many want to be caught up? Amen. You'll be delivered from this body of flesh. Praise God. No more disease. No more diabetes. No more cancer. No more high blood pressure. No more 6 foot under. We'll be with Him. But that last one, tabernacles, is when we just read right here, we're coming back with Him to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. It's called the millennial reign. Tabernacles means God is with man now. So we'll be with Him for 1,000 years in this brand new body. And His headquarters will be in Jerusalem. It's all taking place. The first four have been fulfilled. Because the Holy Ghost was poured out on Pentecost. Read the book of Acts. When they were in the upper room. It happened on that feast day. So it's all coming to pass, saints. So look at this. One of Jesus' first agendas on coming to earth was to destroy the works of the devil. You see, when Adam and Eve fell, Satan had a stronghold on the human race. He still does, somewhat. Jesus had to come and liberate us. Jesus had to come and set us free. Can I get amen? And how can I prove that? that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. It's in the Word of God. Look at this. In 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. What? People that sin, they're of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, meaning he was revealed to you and I. Jesus purposely revealed himself to you and I. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. You see, before we got saved, we were operating like old Slewfoot. Oh, come on. We was out there shaking it, partying, doing it up, in and out of bedrooms, lining it all up, smoking it all up, gangbanging it all up, shooting someone, stabbing someone. Oh, come on. That was the works of the devil. But he came to destroy that. And this is why now we are seated where? In heavenly places. God has seated us now in heavenly places where we can receive the Word of God freely. And we enjoy to hear the Word. How many enjoy to hear the Word? How many believe that God is the sustainer of life? And he gives us every day breath of air. A new breath of air to breathe, to serve him, to glorify him. Look at this. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Oh, what does that mean? For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Let me break this down for some of you. Because we still sin in our mind. Every now and then, some of you will get mad, and man, out comes a curse word. Not for me, but someone else. Huh? I'm not going to point fingers. I'm not here to do that. But you go into a candy store and, oh man, I wish I could remember back when I used to put that in my pocket. Even if you didn't, you thought of it. Right? Okay, what does that mean? Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Okay. When Jesus came, he came to destroy the works of the devil. So, he's the one, the Bible says, no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. So the Father drew you to the Son. He gave you a mind to be saved, and he gave you a heart to repent. Go back before you got saved where we had nothing to do with God. People used to come preach the gospel. Get out of here, man. People used to come witness to me at Western Lumber when I was smoking my bongs out there in the parking lot. I used to roll down my window, all the contact, and there's a little guy with the track, Jesus loves you. I wanted to get out and punch him. You see, I was doing the works of the devil, and I didn't know. I had no clue. But when Jesus came, because the Father sent him. And then when the Father drew us to the Son, he's the one that quickened us. Something inside became alive. And then he gave us eyes to see and ears to hear. And then we cried out in repentance. We cried out, oh God, forgive me, I have sinned. So what happens? When you cry out in repentance, then here comes the blood. And it covers our sin. What's that old song we used to sing? What could wash away my sins? Yeah. Nothing but what? Blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Who can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Okay. So when the blood comes, it covers us. Without the covering and washing of the blood, the Holy Spirit can't come in. This is why there's a lot of people, they'll say they're Christians or they'll say they're saved, but they still, man, I don't. How do they still live like that? You see, and when you're washed in the blood, then the Holy Spirit can come in. The Holy Spirit will not come into a vessel without the blood covering the body. So that's what that means. That means when God the Father looks down, he don't see our sin no more. What does he see? The blood. The blood. The blood has covered our sin. We may sin in the physical, even have thoughts of it, but God dealt with that on the cross. It's not what we do, it's what he did already. You got to remember that. It's what Jesus did. So when you look at it in a spiritual sense, God saved us. Even though we're walking around in this flesh, sometimes we're walking around, man, with a rebellious heart sometimes. Sometimes we get mad at our wife, or our wife will get mad at us. Our children, we yell, we scream, we do stuff like that, and yet the Holy Spirit living inside will convict us. Where we can just say, I'm sorry, forgive me. But that's what that means there. This scripture should give you hope, knowing that God doesn't see our sin anymore. Now, let me make something clear. This does not give us a license to sin. Just lets us know that our original sin from Adam was dealt with at the cross. Praise God. That's a blessing to know. So let's move on. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you're probably very familiar with the story of the resurrection. How many's very? Yep. For some people that are watching on Facebook and YouTube, we welcome you. Maybe you just logged on and don't know anything about the resurrection day. It's your comfort, saints, when you stand by the grave of a loved one and the truth, you count on your own, right then and there, you count on your own salvation. How many have stood on gravesides? We were just there 2 weeks ago. My ex-mother-in-law, we were there at her celebration of life, and we watched her get dropped into the ground. And there was grave sites all over the place. Or plaques. And that statement is so true, because I look at it like, thank you, God, for my salvation. Thank you, God. And even Esther, my ex-mother-in-law, I thank God that 20 years ago, it was but the grace of God. We all went on an Israel trip. And this is my ex-mother-in-law. I baptized her in the River Jordan. And she received Christ in Israel, in the River Jordan. It was never the same again. And so I know where she went. She gave her heart to Christ. And she lived that life. And we're mighty, mighty thankful. Yolanda was a witness to it. Me and Yolanda were there praying for her in the water. With these little fish like this, nipping at your heels. Some of you will be going, oh, oh, oh. But let me ask this question. But has the resurrection changed you on how you live? Has his story changed your story? Ask yourself that. Has there been a difference in your life? Look at this right up here. What impact does Christ's resurrection have on your thinking, conversation, and even your conduct? You have to ask yourself this. Because I've been around the Christian world for 37 years. And I've seen some that are, you know, they're like, wow, those are living a sanctified life. Praise God. And then there's some that, man, they live so loose. You don't. Any conviction in your life? In other words, anything goes. There has to be a change. And when the Holy Spirit is living inside you, there will be a change. Why? Because it's light. Light has now infilled you. It has filled you with, and it has driven out darkness that's in you. And the dark now is gone, and you don't want to operate that way no more. The resurrection is a truth that not only changes your eternal destiny, but it should also affect how you worship God and relate to him in your private and your devotions, as well with others. People will know. You will know when you're around. Let me just say, when you're around someone that's saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, there is something in common. It's called the Koinonia spirit. You can talk about the Lord and you won't get tired of it. You have the same language. In other words, you're like, you're on line with them. But notice you can only go so far with unbelievers. You can only communicate with them because of their language. And every now and then, boom, here comes that F-bomb. Boom, here comes that D-bomb, and everything else comes out of that. So you know that, okay, it is what it is. You don't condemn them, you just pray. Say, Lord, I pray. So let's look at some truths. Let's look at some truths about the resurrection. The first step, saints of God, in evaluating the impact of Christ's resurrection is to review some basic scriptural truths we say we believe in. Look at this. Jesus Christ is alive at the Father's right hand. How many believe he's sitting at the right hand of the Father? Because Hebrews tells us that. Look at this. Hebrews 10:12. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. So that's where he's sitting right now, still judging. Did you know that God continually, there's a court in heaven, and he's sitting right on that throne. Praise God. We believe, saints of God, that Jesus, his sacrificial death, was sufficient to pay for all our sins. Let me just say this. Can you think of a sin that he did not pay for? Or here's another question. What is the unforgivable sin? Bible says he forgives all sin, right? But there's one sin. Grieving is one. Yeah, grieving the Holy Ghost. Okay, so how do you grieve the Holy Ghost? So all of us are going to think of, let me just say this. It's not our human conduct. It's not our actions that grieve. You know what it is? Totally denying Jesus. Denying him until you die in your sin and you go to hell. You have grieved the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit came to save us. Because as believers, we are going to sin. But we have what? An advocate. Who's our advocate? Jesus. So God will continually cleanse us and wash us. But the grievance is when you totally reject the Son. And now you perish. You have grieved the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God. Look at this. We are forgiven and eternally secure in Christ. You know, I had a problem with this because there are some denominations that are Arminians. What's Arminian doctrine? Arminian teaching, you're going to find it more so in the charismatic, Pentecostal, apostolic teachings. They believe that you can walk away. They believe you can lose your salvation. I'm in the middle. Because then there's the other end that where you can never lose. And here, you can walk away. I'm right here in the middle. If you've been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're his. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. How can I prove that? I can't prove that to you, but I can prove it to myself. 37 years walking with him. Has it been a perfect life? No. And yet he's never left me. There are times where I didn't want to serve him. And yet he encourages me. There are times where I want to be angry and mad. And then he brings me joy and peace. You see, when he's with you and for you and living in you, you are his until the day of redemption. What is the day of redemption? That means when this body, he'll exchange it for the new one. And redeem you for the new body. Wow. I can't wait for that one. Because guess what? That new one? That new body? it won't have a sinning mind. You can't think of lust. You can't think of cheating. You can't think of lying. You can't think of manipulating. You can't think of anger and hate and bitterness and being resentful and vengeful. I'm talking about me now. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. No, we all have that issue, don't we? We still deal with it, even as we're saved. But yet, Christ has chosen to live in you because of the blood. So how do we go? How do we confirm this? We are forgiven, eternally secure in Christ. It's through the Word. If you're not in your Word, you're never going to know. Just don't take my word. So, all right, preacher, show me in the Word where I'm eternally secure. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 1:13. Look at this. In Him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed. What does that mean? That means nothing can remove that seal. Nothing on this earth can. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is what? The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. It's a promise, it's a guarantee, and we're sealed eternally. So this to your Arminian brother or sister. They can't refute this. There's another scripture I didn't put in here. But Jesus said, all that the Father gives me, I will no ways lose one, and they will all come to me. It's amazing. God will not discard us. Never think that God's up there with a bat waiting to beat you on the head. Some of us think that He's up there looking at me. No. He's in love with us. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't have sent His Son to die for us. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? He's in love with you, with love with me. And because Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave, saints, all who believe in Him can know that they are eternally secure, not based on our performance, but on the payment that Christ made on the cross for all of our sins. The Holy Spirit, who indwells every believer, is the guarantee of a heavenly inheritance. Aren't you so blessed? For those of you that do not have a living trust, I encourage you, have a trust. Have a trust. Whether you own a home or not, have a living trust. All your possessions, everything you have. If you're not, because you know that old saying, here today, gone tomorrow? You want to pass that on to one of your heirs. Our home, everything we own. We have a trust, and then we have an executor. And then after that, then we have the beneficiaries. Then we have the trustees and the trustors. It's all part of that. It's all allocated. The state can never take away our home. And that's what they want to do. They want to take away all your property if they could. Get a trust. Get a trust. Well, guess what? We are joint heirs with Christ. So everything that God has, He has given to us. We're the heirs of His grace. We're recipients of that. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This is why when you wake up every morning, man, I'm a child of the King. And everything that He has promised is mine too. And maybe I don't see it all right now, but I'm believing by faith He has given everything to me. Everything He has given to you. And so look at this. We're going to live forever. How many believe that? I try to share this with Esther's brother, but unfortunately, he has dementia. So whatever you share with him, you got his attention for just a moment, but then he'll forget what you just said. But I try to tell him that your sister is forever with Jesus. He goes, "Oh, that's so wonderful to know, Fee." And then moments later, he forgot it. They assigned me to sell his property in Lemon Grove, and bless his heart, he would come out of his room, sit down with me in the kitchen. "So how's business?" "Oh, it's going good, Jimmy. Going really good." "Okay, good, good." And then he'd walk away. 20 minutes later, he'd sit down again. "So how's business?" I said, "Oh, going good." Let me just say this, saints, to encourage you. If you're a true child of God and that disease hit you and you can't remember anything no more, you are still sealed until the day of redemption. Can I get an amen? Because it was your confession of faith at the time you gave your heart to Christ. Hallelujah. That's when he saved you. And heaven recorded it. Don't matter where your mind went later on. And I was looking at him. I understood. I didn't mock him. I didn't laugh. I prayed for him. Every time he left, he went in the room. I prayed. Oh, God. Thank you that he's my friend. But we're going to heaven. Look at this. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That he gave his son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have what? There it is. Eternal life. Life eternal. I like to say it like this. The moment we close our eyes on earth, when we open them, we will open them in his presence. There's not going to be no gap. We're going to continue to live. Christ's promise, saints of God, of eternal life is a truth. And it should be able to encourage you and I. And hopefully help us live righteously. Now, and it gives us the eternal hope. Look at this. We too will physically be resurrected. How many believe that? This is what my hope is, okay? My hope is this, saints, that you and I will never have to face or experience physical death. We had some close calls. How many of you can honestly say, "I almost died"? Yeah. I've heard your stories, Brother Barney. God kept you alive for purpose. He has a plan. He has a greater plan. But many of us had that near death. We should have been shot, killed, ran over, stabbed, car accident, jumped, beat up, doped up, OD'd. That's what happened to me on my 21st birthday. We were up in Presidio Park. We had a 5-kegger. Then every van that was in the parking lot, I'd jump in one van to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, the next one. And they all had something different. When I was all done, they were rushing me to the hospital. My heart was stopping. And I told the doctor, the emergency ward, he was asking me, "What did you take? What did you take?" And I ran off all the stuff. Cocaine. Liquid eye drop of acid in my eye. Buddha bud. All these things, man. Liquor. My heart gave out. And they had to boom. You know that shocker? Boom. I was dying. And then the next day, went home. We're getting lit again. Lord have mercy. But look what Paul wrote about this. I love the apostle. Look what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. See, when we came out of our mother's womb, we're in this corruptible body, right? It's sown in corruption. But it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Are you seeing this? Are you listening to this right here? He is describing what our natural state is and what our future state is going to be. You see, this body that we live in right now, it's corruptible. Praise God. Thank God for showers. If they never invented a shower or a tub, I don't think we'd be sitting by each other. But look at this. So is also the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in corruption. Meaning, when we get that new body, there's not going to be no corruption on that body. It is sown in dishonor. Right now, man, our minds can be filthy. Right now, you could be sitting here hearing the word, and in your mind, you'd be thinking of something else. It is raised in glory. How many of you want to be raised in glory? Woo! Look at this. It is sown in weakness. I just shared with you. If something drops out of my hand, I'm just going to walk by it. Look at this. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Power. It is sown a natural body. We're in the natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. We're going to have one like his. And there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Praise God. He distinctly separates the two. And that spiritual one is a promise for us. Can I get an amen? My brother, no more meds. There'll be no more meds to take. That's right. We could throw them all away. We won't need no aids to walk. None of that stuff. We'll be in that new body. How many can't wait for it? Come on. Oh, only one hand up, so the rest of them love that body you're in now. Okay, stay in it. Stay in it. Just stay in it. Jesus Christ's resurrection, saints, it guarantees that we will have the same experience he did when he rose again on the third day. All the sin and weaknesses of our present bodies will be a thing of the past. And Jesus will come and raise us up. Praise God. Did you know that heaven is our home? Oh, let's move on to this. Look at this. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Who was the second Adam? Jesus. However, the spiritual is not the first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. He's going to recreate us like him. Man, thank you, Jesus. So, I need you to understand that. Oh, we got one more. Oh, that's right. We got two. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And we, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the what? Heavenly man. Thank you, Jesus. So this is coming soon. I hope you, listen, let me just say this. It's sooner than you think. The end of this age is coming sooner than you think. The time clock started when Israel became a nation in 1948. That's when the time clock started now. And so everything that's prophetically was spoken is coming to pass. So look at this. Heaven is our home. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Heaven is our home. Jesus promised. Look at this. He wrote this. And if I go, I prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise God. And because of God's grace, saints, He provided us through the Son that one day we will be made perfect. Perfect. And none of us right now are at that stage yet. We're striving for perfection, but we will never be perfect. None of us can ever say, I've arrived. I'm sorry. Not on this planet. Thank you, Jesus. Look what John 10:10 says. The thief does not come to except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundant. Let me ask you this. Since you've received Christ, has your life become more abundant? Even on earth. More so when we see Him face to face and we're in heaven with Him. But He changes us here too. He blesses you. He blesses your children, your grandchildren. He blesses your life. He supplies all of your needs according to His riches and glory. When you get sick, He heals you. Oh, that's right. He'll reconcile people in your life that at one time you guys were like enemies. Do you know that you have enemies in your own bloodline? People you don't talk to. They don't look at you. They're mad at you. They can't forgive you. But in our heart now, we can forgive them. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
And then let God do the rest. And one of the things that we're going to see when we get there is we will see our loved ones. Just imagine. Pastor R, I'm going to use you as a little example. When you get to that place, because we're all going to be there, just imagine how many generations of Sesmas are going to be there. 200, 300, 400 years that you've never met. They're going to be there waiting for you. Greeting you. That gave their heart. And you're a recipient of that line. I don't know how many Sullivans I'm going to see. I know my dad will be there. I know my mom will be there. I know my little Walita, who spoiled me rotten when I was a little child. She'll be there. Mama will be there. I know Yolanda's parents will be there. We led them to Christ before they died. Many, many of you led many of them already to Christ. But those generations that have gone, that are past, they're going to meet you. You're going to have a family up there, a reunion like no other. The Apostle John, who was caught up in the third heaven, said, I saw a vast of multitude that I could not count that's in heaven. So many. We're talking not millions, but billions up there since Adam and Eve. Because remember, Jesus went back to preach to them and set them free. And then for 2,000 years, He's been setting us free. Wow. Thank you, God. And so right now, we are absent from the Lord, but we have this hope. We have this hope right up here. Yes. Yes, look at this. We are confident. Yes. Well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We will be with the Lord one day, absent from this body. I can't wait. I know you can't. Our saved loved ones, as I just mentioned, are in the Lord's presence right now. And when we arrive, they're going to greet us at the gates. If you get a chance, her name is Janie. Last name. Janie Duvall. Remember that. She has interviewed over 75 believers. Not unbelievers, believers. They all have had a near-death experience. Some died in a hospital room. Some in a bad car crash. And they were immediately went into the presence of the Lord. And they saw what heaven looked like. They saw what Paul saw. They saw what John saw. And God sent them back to tell the people of earth that he is real and this place is real. And they all, if you were to listen to all of them, and they don't even know each other, describe the place the same. It's like, that can't be a coincidence now. God is sending messages back to say that place is real. Matter of fact, they said it's more real than this earth. He said the grass in the fields, the little blades of grass is praising God. They speak. The leaves, the trees. They said everything is the most beautiful. There's nothing dead up there. There's food, but you know what? The good news, there's no toilets. Praise God. They didn't see no clocks and they didn't see no beds. Isn't that something? Having a body that don't need rest. Don't need to go to sleep. These were made, you had to go to bed. But not those. Why are we talking about this today? Because it's Resurrection Sunday. We're talking about the resurrection. We're talking about he died and rose again. And he has given us this hope. So once again, has Christ made a difference in your life? Has he made a difference? Can people say, man, I want what you got. My life ain't doing so well. But I see you joyful. I see you happy. I see the love in your heart. I see you don't speak the same no more. I see something different. Can they say that of your life right now? Because your life makes a difference for them. It really does. It testifies heaven. Your life should be a witness for heaven. What Jesus has done and what he's doing inside you. And so, next question would be this. Are you growing in holiness? You know what holiness means? It's not no word like a monk. I got to live in some monastery with the monks and be holy. No. Holiness is being separate from the culture. Separate from the world's mindset. Separate from what the neighbor does next door who loves the party here. They party till 4 in the morning. Oh yeah, they do. They do. But we made a promise to one another. He promises he'll never play any music while we're having church on Sunday. I go, you can play your music. Don't worry. We don't bother. I was there. I was young like you. Don't worry. I won't call the... When they're playing, they're having a party, we just go to our bed. We can't even hear them no more. Let them do their thing. But I've witnessed to them. They know about Jesus. They can't get past that. I shared my testimony with them. I told them that you know our doors are open. You can come and have church with us. I've invited them. Praise God. Look at this. First Peter wrote this. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. That means live a separated life. I've seen this in my own family. Where you go visit others, everything is a little different. Their language, their use of drinks, everything's different. Well, they're not living a holy life. And you can't blame them. You can't beat them on the head. That's who they are. We were the no different. Can I get an amen? So we can't condemn them. All we can do, man, when we get home, we pray for them. Lord, I pray. I pray for them, Lord, that you would save them like you saved us. Because we were once like that, God. We're not better. We're no different. You've just been graceful to us. And we don't deserve your mercy, God. So when you come to God with humility, that's when he's going to hear you. That's when he's going to have mercy on your loved ones. Did you know that everything that was taken from Job, Job lost his children, he lost his wealth, he lost his health, he lost everything. And then God blessed them tenfold. But how did God bless them? Read the last chapter of the 42 chapters. It's because he prayed for his friends. The three that came then brought him false information that mocked God. God was angry at the three. But God didn't bring judgment. But how did Job get restored? He got new children. He got everything back. His wealth, tenfold. He started praying for his friends. When's the last time you started praying for your family and your friends? So God, save them, like, save them, God. Have mercy on them. When you get to that place in your life where you're sold out for Christ, nothing else should matter, but you should have that heart wanting many to have the saving knowledge of Christ like you. It should be tag, you're it. Tag, you're it. Tag, you're it. Hebrews 12:14 says this, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Oh. Man, if you're not separated from the culture and from all those things, and we can only read what he said. Pursue peace with all people. Be at peace with folks. Even if they don't like you, even if they walk out in your life, don't be angry. Don't be mad. Let them go. How many have ever had people walk out of your life? They just hightailed and gone. I heard that prophetic word for me from Brother Dennis. One of the things he said to me, he goes, you've been hurt, you've been hurt, you've been hurt, you've been hurt. And there's one particular one that has really hurt you. He goes, but it's going to end today. And I got a piece about them. Because I know the folks that have hurt me. But you know what? He said, I remember what he said after he said that. He goes, but God said he's going to bless you because you weren't vengeful about it. I wasn't. I just had to let it fall off me. I can't take that hurt with me. I can't take that disparity and rejection with me. I can't. I got to let it slip off like the coating on one of those pans that are coated with Teflon. I got to have Teflon faith.
Like the thing that jumps out of your hand.
It just, It slips right out. So what is the message to a believer? Well, one of the things is having trusted Jesus as Savior and placed your eternal future in His hands. Are you sharing your testimony, as I just mentioned, on what He has done in your life with others? They need to hear. Maybe today. Maybe we've been lacked in that area. Maybe some of us has fallen short in that area. Maybe today God has said, hey, you know what? Just pick it right back up and go again. He'll dust you off and keep on going. God's not angry with you. God's for you, not against you. Another question. Are you a beacon to the people with whom you work and live with? The people on your job know, maybe school. Do they know that you love Jesus? They should. See, our conduct, conversation, ought to show that we're different from the world, as I just mentioned, right? Because we talked about grief, didn't we? Do not grieve. So you were quoting this in Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed. You see that? For the day of redemption. In other words, don't grieve the Holy Spirit now since you've been saved. And let all. Does it say let some? Does your Bible say let all? Look at this. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Meaning, what does that mean? That means having all that bitterness, wrath, and anger. Malice is meaning with an evil intention. He says, put it away from you and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. Come on, can I get an amen in the house? Amen. Praise God. We must guard against being consumed with our own concerns and instead make an effort to tell others about the peace and security that we have in Christ. We're coming in for a close. So next question would be this. Are you serving the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit? Is the anointing flowing? Is the power of God upon you? How many love when God shows up when you go pray for someone? I think it was several months ago. Catherine called us. Pastor Fee, you have time to come pray? Some lady in her caregiving arena. It was at a care facility. She must have been 85 years old. And she only spoke Spanish. And her daughter was there. Her daughter was maybe 30. And so me and Yolanda show up. It was a tiny room. The little lady was on the bed. The daughter was standing next to her. And Catherine and then me and Yolanda came in. So we anointed her with oil. And I told the girl, do you speak Spanish? She goes, yes. I go, I'm going to pray in English. You start praying in Spanish. So we anointed her mom. And then we asked her to say the sinner's prayer. And when she was saying the sinner's prayer, her feet were going like this. Remember that? And then I turned to my left and I looked at the daughter. I said, God wants to save you right now. I go, this is about you. She just received Christ. This is about you. And she goes, huh? I go, this is about you. As soon as I said, do you want to receive Christ right now? Yes, I do. As soon as she said, yes, I do, it was like the whole room lit up. And Jesus like walked into the room. And man, the presence just came strong. And she said the sinner's prayer. And when she was done, her corners of her mouth were like this. She goes, "What's going on? What happened to me?" I go, "You just accepted Christ. He's living in you right now." She must have called right in front of us. You could ask Catherine. She must have called, I don't know, 10 people. "Guess what happened to me right now?" Those are moments that we live for. When you can go tag, "You're it." Oh my gosh, it was like so ordained by God. Did you know every one of us in here, God wants to have those moments with you. And all you have to do is be available to Him. Just be available for Him. Just go do what He's called you to do. He shows up. And He'll show up in power. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. You see, He's the one who brought us salvation by convicting us. Did you know the Holy Spirit had to come and convict us? How many believe that? Because none of us were going anywhere. Until He came to convict us, we didn't know we were sinners. But look what John 16:8 says. "And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in Me." This is Jesus is talking. "Righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Who's the ruler of this world right now? Oh, Slewfoot, Satan is. And so, being a child of God, we should never be ashamed. How many of you can honestly say, if you're amongst people, maybe at an outing, a picnic, a birthday, and there's a lot of unbelievers around, but yet you don't say nothing about Jesus? You want to in your mind, but you're worried about what they may say to you. You're worried about how they look at you. You got to be like Paul. You have to be like Paul. Like this. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And so know this as we close. Know this. Do you realize that you are never alone? You are never alone. Because Hebrew tells us that. And then we'll close out in prayer. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you." Nor what? Forsake you. "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for this day. For around the world, everyone's celebrating the resurrection of the risen Christ. Thank You, God, that You died for us. Thank You, God, that our sins have been forgiven. Thank You that we are now eternally destined to be with You in heaven. Thank You that this world is not our home. Thank You, God, that when we do come back with You, it's only for 1,000 years. And then You will create the new world, the new Jerusalem. And that goes on forever and ever and ever. There is so much hope that lies ahead of us. And I pray for each and every one of us. Strengthen us, God, this day. Help us be overcomers, O God. Help us believe the things that we've read today that will enable us to continue to do the marvelous, wondrous things that you do through us and in us. Oh God, I pray, Lord, continue to strengthen the body right now. Lord, heal our bodies that are diseased, that are sick. Help us be overcomers, oh God. Help us reconcile, Lord, with our loved ones, friends, and family. We pray that this year, Lord, there would be a harvest, and many will come into the saving knowledge. Lord, we want to see more souls saved, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Spirit. Use us, God. Use us mightily, Lord. And when it's all said and done, Lord, let us all be mindful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I'm speaking to those right now on Facebook and YouTube. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great opportunity right now. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. And invite Jesus to come in. And let him do what only he can do. Change you from the inside out. It's not the prayer that saves you. Prayer is just a tool. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith is what saves you. So pray this prayer. Use this prayer. Cry out to him. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the praise.